Now, today is Vision Sunday, and our focus is on our vision for 2020, and our theme for this year is the word extraordinary. This year is going to be all about ordinary people like you and like me living extraordinary lives for the glory of God. Do you know that to take something ordinary and make it extraordinary, all you need to do is add a little bit extra? And that's what this year is going to be about. Adding a little bit extra. A little bit extra in this ministry, in the life of our church, or in some other thing that we're doing as a church. And adding just a little bit extra in your life so that we can live extraordinary lives. Just ordinary people, but living extraordinary lives for the glory of God. Now, as part of talking about that today, I've invited each of our pastors to come and share for about 3 minutes a little bit about their vision for their area of ministry. Now, we're going to hear from Kevin and Sally up now here in the announcements, because they've both got commitments out in the children's ministry in just a few moments' time. So we thought we'd hear from them first, and then the kids can head out, and we'll hear from the others a little bit later in the service. So let's put our hands together for Kevin.
Thank you, church. How are you guys doing? By the way, I just realized I can do more push-up than I thought. If you don't know what push-up is all about and why Kevin's talking about push-up, maybe ask your kids. That would be a good idea. Anyway, it's been a couple of weeks now. I'm the new additions in this church family. One of the exciting things for me is to be a part of a church that becomes so multi-generational and multicultural too, and the passions to invest for the future generations. So to share a bit of our Kids Min passion, I am going to introduce you to young Kevin. Young Kevin, he exists a few years ago.
Young Kevin.
You got to be in your 20s once, 30 once, 40 maybe twice? You get to be in your 40s twice maybe? 50 forever? Anyway, young Kevin. Young Kevin grew up in a church family. He's a Christian. He grew up in a Christian family. He goes to Sunday school. He fill out the Sunday school's homework. Homework, right? They call it at that time. He colored Moses or Jesus and bring it back home all the time. Never leave it in the foyer. He's that kind of kid. But young Kevin, although he grew up in a church, in a Christian family, he did not have a relationship with Jesus. He was in his 20s. He did not know Jesus until he was in his 20s. What it took for Kevin, for him to know Jesus, is ordinary people in his life putting extraordinary effort for him. Definitely need a lot of work for me. But I would like to invite you in this journey together as who we are, as extended families, chaplains, single parents, families, grandparents, everyone, to invest your time, your prayer, could be your effort into the future generations through kids and families ministry. So thank you, and I'm very excited to start the journey with you. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to start my stretching again and dance. See you guys.
Hey, put your hands together for Kevin. Kevin's off to an absolutely amazing start. I can't believe the quality of what he's done and the quantity of what he's done, being here only 4 weeks already. And he's done an amazing job getting the program up, leaders in place, the organisation, Safe Churches training as well. It's just been absolutely amazing. Well done, Kevin. Good. Give him another hand. And Sally, over to you.
Thanks, Mark. Like Mark said, we have Regenerate Youth Camp next weekend. Today is your last chance to register. I'm looking at you, Amelia. So if you haven't registered yet and you would like to come, it is only in Creswick. So if you have kids that want to come but can't come for the whole weekend, we would still love to have them even just for a day or half a day. So come and see me. We really want to make it possible for as many kids to come as possible. I want to tell you a little bit. Over the last few months, our youth leaders and I have been thinking about how we have a little bit more focus about why we do Friday, why we do a Friday night youth program, and why we do a Sunday morning youth program. So with lots of brainstorming and some prayer, we came up with an acronym for our word THRIVE. So Friday night program is called THRIVE, and we thought, well, what does it mean for a kid to be thriving? What does that look like? So we have an acronym, and I'm going to tell you what that acronym is. I didn't bring my notes, but it's okay because it's all up here, and that's the point of an acronym, right? So T stands for to know God. So on a Friday and a Sunday morning, we always open the Bible. We open the Word of God because we want kids to know God. H, though, is about having a heart connection because, I don't know about you, like Kevin said, it's when you have that heart connection that your life changes. So we don't just want kids to know about God, know His Word, but we want them to have a heart connection, to make a decision to follow Him, for Him to become their personal Lord and Saviour. R is for real relationships. So on a Friday, small groups are a high priority for us. We have dinner at 5:30 and then we have small groups where the kids split up and we do relationships together. We talk about life, we pray for each other. The kids have an opportunity to build some real relationships. I is for inviting others. So invitational culture is really important for us on a Friday night particularly. So kids always get a prize for bringing someone to Thrive. It's a unique opportunity to have a Friday night program where we can get non-church kids into church hearing the gospel. We cannot forget to make that a high priority for our youth program. V, look, it's touch and go, but V stands for serve. Okay? So we believe that if you are a young person and you are having a relationship with Jesus, you will be serving Him. You'll be serving others. So it's a high priority. I think that if a kid is 15 years old, they are old enough to be serving in ministry, and that's important in terms of our discipleship. So V is for serve.
V.
And E stands for equipping. So Friday and Sunday morning is all about equipping the youth to be able to live out their faith. So it's not about just being in the moment, giving them fun time, giving them a good Bible study. It's actually about giving them skills and tools to equip them to be able to live as Christians in the world. So that's what our youth programs are all about. Second to that is we've realised that Friday night, our key priority is non-church kids. So though we do a Bible study, the priority is relationships in those Bible studies. Sunday morning, we acknowledge we get church kids. So Sunday morning, we go a bit deeper in our Bible studies, which is exactly what we're going to be doing this morning.
Great to have you here with us this morning for Vision Sunday. As I said earlier, our theme this year is extraordinary. Ordinary people leading extraordinary lives for the glory of God. That idea has been inspired by a verse from John chapter 15 where Jesus said to his disciples, "This is to my Father's glory." You'll know that the purpose of our church is to glorify God. We exist for the glory of God. Therefore, when we hear Jesus Himself talking about what it is that brings glory to God, we pay attention. We get our highlighter out. We highlight it. We underline it. We stay focused on it. "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What a fascinating idea of bearing much fruit. It's the picture of a vineyard. It's the picture of vines in an abundant harvest, bearing much fruit. This is no ordinary harvest. This is an extraordinary harvest. I wonder what God is going to be doing this year in your life to bear much fruit. We're going to talk this morning, as we have already, about some of the things that God is going to do in our life together as a church to bear much fruit. Remembering that the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is just that little bit extra. That's all it is, just that little bit extra. Earlier, Kevin and Sally kicked us off sharing about their particular ministries. I'm going to invite Kathy and Erin to come and join me up on stage now to do something similar. This is Kathy Leslie. Can we put our hands together for Kathy? Kathy has just commenced as our cross-cultural director. Remember last year I mentioned a few times that we'd been given a grant to invest in cross-cultural ministry here at One to One, and it's a delight to introduce to you Kathy, who's taken on that role, some experience in that role previously in another church in Brisbane, so comes with a tremendous experience, a tremendous heart for the ministry. And did you know that more than 100 people in our church have moved here from different countries around the world? Already more than 100 people. Isn't that amazing what God is doing in our midst here at One to One? Kathy, share with us a little bit about your heart and passion for cross-cultural ministry.
Thank you, Mark. I've had personal experience of why some of these 100 people aren't with us every week, and that's numerous occasions I've gone into join worship services with people who speak another language, and even though they've interpreted for me, it's still really hard to worship when language is not easy. And then I don't know when they sit and when they stand and when they do all the other things, the culture of church, that can just make it really difficult for someone from different background, different country, different language to fit into a place like One to One. But probably most of you have at some stage received a booklet like this. All for God's Glory is on that front page. And as you turn over, you will see the words, which I hope are on our screen here. Our purpose is both clear and simple. We exist for the glory of God. There is no purpose or honour or privilege greater than the opportunity of living for God's glory. And as my heart here, as cross-cultural director, not just for everybody here, but particularly for our people who've come from other countries, cultures and languages, to be able to have that complete opportunity that the rest of us have to know that absolute wonderful privilege of living for our Lord Jesus. And I think that in the Bible we can read how this happens in heaven. So in Revelation, John has a vision. And in this vision, one of the things he sees is this. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And there we see a picture of heaven of people from everywhere, from every language and tribe and people worshipping God in unity. And I see in that picture of unity and that picture of connectedness one to another and between people and God. And that is my heart for people who come here from other countries, that they would feel completely welcomed and at unity with everybody else, no matter what our first language, no matter what our first country was. And so I would hope to be able to draw a team of people together from our church so that with God's grace and God's power, we would be able to reach out to those already part of our congregation, but to those further afield in other parts of Ballarat as well, so that everyone would have the opportunity to hear the gospel and live for God's glory. I would also hope that in doing that, we would be able to renew people's lives as they come to have the transformation of God's Spirit in their lives. And part of the way that we're going to do that in our thinking at the moment, we might be holding English classes using the Bible. We might be holding parenting classes for everybody, but making a particular effort to invite others of a non-English speaking background. We might be holding some worship services in different languages done in a different way to how we do it here. There's many, many different things we can do, and of course plenty of pastoral care along the way. So I'm really excited to hear and to be part of what God is doing here amongst our multicultural community. So thank you for that opportunity.
Yes, please put your hands together for Kathy. Absolutely wonderful young lady and a real gift to us here at One to One. Another amazing young lady, put our hands together for the extraordinary Erin.
I'm being a bit of a Gen X here because I do like a bit of paper, and I'm sure a few of you can relate to that. Hi, I'm Erin. I'm the pastor for discipleship, and it's a great joy and a privilege to actually be the pastor of discipleship here at One to One, because I have great passion to be in discipleship to make followers of Jesus. And my role is all about connecting people to lots of different things. It's all about people, and connecting them here to the body of Christ as they are welcomed and new, connecting them to groups and to ministry, and also connecting them to Jesus. More importantly, Jesus is at the centre, connecting them to Jesus all for our glory. And what I'm going to go through in the most simplest way is to show you a quick pathway that we are introducing in March, but this is the pathway that each of us have to be followers of Jesus and connecting to each other as the body of Christ. So the best way to do that is actually to give you an example of a newcomer who's actually just really only been with us for probably 6 to 8 months. It might be a little bit longer, but it's all about this pathway in which Renee has followed. And she came in here and connected, and our wonderful Connect and Serve team, my great team, would have connected with her on the door and brought her into worship, and we have a great worship experience. And after that, she was able to go out and have a coffee with our wonderful team who connect out there also in the cafe in relationship. And from there, we were able to connect with her during the week and discover that she has a real passion to know Jesus. With a background in Catholicism, very similar to mine, that we know God, but we just want to connect personally with him. So we're able to connect her to Alpha. And Alpha went through that whole of actually coming to know why am I here? Who am I, and why am I here? And able to connect to Jesus through that pathway. In the midst of that, she was also able to go through to our Holy Spirit weekend and actually accept Jesus personally as her Lord and Saviour, which is such a joy, and you'll actually see Renee be baptised very soon. And in the midst of that, she then joined a smaller group. Smaller groups are so vital to actually faith and loving relationships, to support you in life and faith. We've got a rich variety of small groups here, so don't think it's boxed into one. We've got exercise, men's, women's, discovery groups. We have a group for you. And if you're not on this pathway and connected into a group, I really feel that you are missing out. So Renee has gone through and is actually in a group. And now she's come out of that to the other side, finding her gifts, her passions, and also is now going back to serve in Alpha in service in her call to reach people. And from that, she will then wants to make disciples, because we're all called to make disciples. It's the Great Commission. We're called to make disciples, and Renee will step into a discovery group. We've got discovery groups happening right now at 10:30. If you come to 9, you can go to a 10:30 group with Carlo. They're doing a thing called Journeys this year. It's super exciting if you want to connect more with Jesus. And a discovery group will help you make disciples of Jesus. So this is Renee's discipleship journey. It's also can be yours if you're not feeling connected. We start this on March the 1st in our 10:30 services because we are called. And my call in ministry is very much shaped by my experience. It's very similar to Renee's. And you all are shaped in a particular way and called for God's glory, to be used for God's glory. He's using us. So my recent experiences are that as the leader gets better, we all get better. I'm committed to leadership. I'm committed to learning more about leadership. I'm doing an Arrow course for leadership where we are led more like Jesus, leading people more to Jesus. I'm here as a mentor, as a coach in Praxis. I'm a coach in Praxis to disciple people, to know how to share your faith. It's super important. And that's my commitment to our leaders, is to actually mentor, coach, and just lead. So that's my commitment. I'm really super excited to be able to lead my teams, my prayer, my welcome, connect and serve, hospitality, evangelism, and groups. I love you all, and I love that you're serving God in all that way, because we're doing it for God's glory, because that's what we're called to do. And we just are here to make a difference, and we want, me personally, I have a real hunger to have people to come to know Jesus, for the spiritually dry here in Ballarat, Western Victoria, in the region, in our churches. I have a real hunger for that, and that's my passion, to be able to teach you how to do that so we can see a movement of God in this place in Ballarat and beyond. Wouldn't that be awesome? Awesome. So to do that, it starts with prayer. And this is the very first and most important thing I've got to say today, is that we really have to pray to the Lord of the harvest to supply workers. It's super important. Join us in prayer. We have absolutely wonderful opportunities to pray so that we can reap the harvest that we're here to do. That's my spot.
Thanks, Sarah.
Way, way more than 3 minutes. But if you thought I was going to stay to 3 minutes, you were just dreaming. I'm sorry.
That's cool. I feel like I just woke up. So, no, that was great, Aaron. All good. Hey, for those of you here last Sunday, I'm sure words got around as well. We made two big announcements last Sunday. Firstly, the news that Sally has been offered an amazing ministry opportunity in Geelong, probably the best church in Geelong, probably about twice our size, with all her family around her in Geelong. And so Sally's finishing up here to go and be the family's pastor at New Hope Baptist Church. One Hope Baptist Church. There's some hope. I feel like one of the Wiggles at the moment. I feel like, should I have a purple T-shirt on? Is that right? The other side of the news, well, that's that funny. It's sad news. We'll miss Sally Heaps, but it's exciting news. We're so proud of Sal. The other side of the coin is we've also announced that we've got a new pastor joining us in just 3 weeks' time. Simon Pratt will be joining us as our worship, youth and young adults pastor. Please keep Simon and Mel and the kids in your prayers. Simon in 3 weeks, Mel and the kids at the end of the term. Look, Simon's passion is to develop emerging leaders. He's absolutely our passion. He's going to take a whole stack of our youth and our young adults and develop them as leaders and see young people become really wholehearted followers of Jesus. So he brings a tremendous amount of experience and quality with him. I am looking forward to having him in the room. I want to just share very briefly this morning. Firstly, I want to take a moment to say thank you, particularly for your generous support late last year in three projects. The first was Solo, where we raised $1,700 to give 33 Christmas presents to single parent families. You can see what that looked like a little bit here, with one of the families receiving their gift on Santa's knee. Thank you so much. The Yule Park Young Parents Program said thank you. They said our Christmas celebration was made all the more special by the amazing packs that the one-to-one church provided to our lucky students. They were absolutely wrapped with them. I think the pun was intended there. Absolutely wrapped with them. So thank you for that. Also on Christmas Eve, because of your generous support, we raised and gave $1,500 to Churches of Christ Overseas Aid, the COCO appeal on Christmas Eve. $1,500 that was sent overseas to be distributed across a whole range of different countries and projects. And also in October, November, we raised funds for Christmas presents for children in Indonesia with the Christmas tree and the decorations on the tree. You could buy a decoration and give to the kids. $1,700. The next slide again has a photo. Really valuable, useful presents were given to them. Shoes, which are good quality shoes, sometimes hard to come by in Indonesia, backpacks for their school supplies, really valuable resources purchased over there, investing in the local economies as well and businesses over there, and providing the kids not just with a Christmas present, that's amazing, but with a Christmas present that gives them an even better present, which is an investment in their education, which is the most valuable thing that we can give to them. So thank you so much for that. Our church is actually probably the leading church of Christ in Australia in terms of its innovating new models of partnership in overseas missions and in working with global mission partners and Indonesia in a three-way partnership. We're providing leadership to other churches and have been pioneering models of what that could look like. We've been had 8 years of involvement in Indonesia. The last 4 years, we've had a particular model that we've been working with and running with. I'm going back to Indonesia in a couple of months' time with our global mission partners to meet with our Indonesian partners and renegotiate that partnership for the next few years. We're going to evaluate what we've done. We're going to ask the question, how can we have a greater impact? How can we empower you to do the ministry you need to do on the ground, in the villages, in the towns, with the projects that you are focused on? And we're also going to be asking, how can we do this in a way that it provides a model that other churches can take and use so that we can multiply the impact that we are having? As part of that, and part of our project and investment in the relationships, we'll be sending a team over in November for a short-term missions trip. At the end of November. That'll be exciting. We've done that about four or five times before. We'll be doing it again this year. And if you haven't been on one of those teams, let me encourage you to be prayerfully asking God when you will go. Ask him when. Is this year the year? Maybe not. Maybe next year. But let me encourage you to make it an ambition to get on one of these teams somewhere, sometime. It'll be a life-changing experience. We're also going to be sponsoring their national leader, Daniel, to come back to Australia. Their leader in Salatiga in Eastern Java, Harry, to come back to Australia as well and to work with us, with GMP and other churches. Just recently, we made a decision to support or to fund the construction of a well to ensure a sustainable year-round water supply for the theological college that is in Salatiga. So that's a high priority for us. This is getting a bit scratchy here. My apologies for that. I don't know what's happened. It's okay if I stop breathing. I found a solution. Don't worry about the length of the message. It'll only be another 2 minutes because I can't breathe in. So that's a really exciting project. To be able to supply a college with year-round water will be an incredibly valuable project. Also, we made the decision to fund a coffee project. Who likes coffee? Who likes the idea of funding a coffee project? I reckon that's a pretty cool thing to invest in. This is a coffee project among the Bugis people in South Sulawesi. These are a large tribe, about 3 million people, I think, in South Sulawesi, largely unreached, who love trading. They love business. They love bartering. That's one of the distinctives of their culture. And one of the outstanding and most highly respected new pastors is going into South Sulawesi with a vision to reach these largely unreached people. God has laid on his heart a strategy to be able to do evangelism and church planting and to win respect across the cultures, and that is this coffee project. It's a project which is not just about selling coffee, which is what you and I tend to think of, isn't it? A coffee machine that'll make the cappuccino, that is part of it. But it starts with training and equipping farmers to be able to plant coffee and to know how to do the farming side of things, to help them harvest it and get the best possible yields, to then help them to be able to set up to process it themselves and then turn it into a business, which will include selling coffee and training people in barista skills and all that sort of thing in Indonesia as a platform for evangelism and church planting. That's, I think, a really, really exciting project. It's so holistic right across the community and just a tremendous, tremendous way to be able to win goodwill, be a blessing in the community, help people out very practically and financially, while at the same time being able to share faith in Christ as Lord and Saviour. As I said earlier, we are going to be taking up a special offering. It's 2020, isn't it? Everyone's talking about 2020, 2020 vision, 2020 goals, all of that sort of thing. We're going to have a 2020 special vision offering to raise funds to support our partnership in Indonesia in 2020. The budget for these projects that I've talked with you about this morning is about $20,000. I figured it would be exciting to see how much we could raise of that in the next 20 days. We'll take up an offering today and in the next couple of weeks as well in our services. And of course, there's opportunities to be able to give electronically via our website or through our electronic banking details. If you give electronically, just put Indonesia on the transfer. That would be absolutely fantastic.